Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters, episode 106. I'm your host, SBJ.
I'm Micah.
And here we are.
Raring to go.
Hot and heavy.
Coming in hot. That's not hot and heavy.
Yeah, you know.
It was a Seinfeld reference.
Passionate. I don't know if Seinfeld invented hot and heavy.
No, I don't think they did, but I don't think anything else has ever made me think about the words hot and heavy besides Seinfeld.
We have a new Iceborne trailer.
Nice.
And it has revealed new monsters. I was actually, before we started recording, I was like, I dreamed I got like a press release at 3 a.m. and I did, it wasn't a dream.
It wasn't a dream.
I did get a press release.
I also woke up to you saying, let's record. This is a weird, not like in person, not like I was sleeping in the same room as you and you woke me up and said, like shook me awake and said, hey, we need to record. I woke up to a text message of you saying, hey, let's record. And I woke up from a dream of me driving to your house. And that wasn't happening, but you were texting me.
Consciously, always together.
Yeah. The same way that you subconsciously dreamt. You subconsciously knew that there was a press release.
Or I just, like, saw the press release right before I closed my eyes.
And then dreamt about it for 8 hours or whatever.
Yeah. Well, man, I wish it was 8 hours. Running on, like, 5 hours of sleep here.
Oh, no.
I guess we'll just go through the press release here. The press release pretty much, you know, points out the things in the trailer. Very hard to describe a trailer, but if you have not seen it, you can just head over to youtube.com/monsterhunter, and it's like the first video, the featured video there.
Is it? Do they have the slash Monster Hunter?
I think so. Where did I go?
I don't know. I'm curious because I know that YouTube, like, there's a ton of stipulations you need to get the slash.
They do have just slash Monster
Hunter. They do. I'm impressed.
They do. 3 minute trailer, but a minute of it is the 30 seconds of telling you that it's Monster Hunter, and then the last 30 seconds is telling you pre-order bonuses, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
So we have about like 2 minutes of footage, but we'll run through here through the press release. Capcom revealed a new trailer and a developer update video packed with new details of Monster Hunter World Iceborne, the highly anticipated massive expansion to Capcom's best-selling Monster Hunter World. The latest footage provides an overview of newly confirmed subspecies and variations of monsters, an all new look at the Gathering Hub headquarters, plus other gameplay improvements and additions. Subspecies monsters join the roster in Iceborne, offering extreme twisted variations that amp up the difficulty and require master level hunting skills to defeat.
Extreme.
Add for Mountain Dew. Okay, so imagine I'm selling you Mountain Dew right now. I'm offering you an extreme twisted variation of amped up flavor.
I mean, if you subtract certain words from that, you wind up with the phrase extreme variant.
Sure, I suppose. The latest trailer provides a peek at just two of the ferocious variants that wait. An electrifying Brute Wyvern, Fulgor Anjanath.
Fulgor Anjanath.
Which channels lightning instead of fire. And then the Fanged Wyvern, Ebony Odogaron, is more vicious than ever with wider attacks and dragon elemental damage. In addition to the fearsome subspecies, the fiery Glavinus, whose distinguishable roar was teased in a previous story trailer. Is it distinct? I'm very bad.
Everybody on Twitter was very clearly like, oh, it's Glavinus. I'm really bad at like hearing roars
just
too.
I'm bad at any audio things. Wields a sword-like tail to wipe out hunters with its trademark sweep attack. I didn't know that Glavinus was a janitor.
Wow.
Sweep attack. That was a real
hated
bad
that joke.
Dad joke right there. As part of the cozy new home base at Hoarfrost Reach, A streamlined gathering hub offers a warm welcome for hunting parties with a more centralized facilities and features built around interactive hot spring. Hunters and palicos can conveniently manage all pre-hunt necessities in close proximity, such as the smithy to craft gear, research center manage bounties, or botanical research to harvest items. Feels real good. It almost feels like they wanted like this huge interactive hub for Monster Hunter World, and it didn't pan out.
Yeah.
So it just feels like this very empty thing that you're just constantly running.
Sure.
Like the Destiny
hub. It's a very small
hub. In like, Destiny 1 was big, but it didn't feel that way because there was always other people running around. And I feel like the Monster Hunter first hub just felt big and empty.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right. I think they wanted to make something that felt big and lived in, but I think maybe the misstep that they didn't realize initially was that the lived in with NPCs didn't give it the effect that they wanted it to. Because you're right, it did feel pretty lonely compared to like Destiny or other, you know, similar titles. It also felt kind of like, I don't know, now that we're back in an era of like hometown and not hometown, I don't really know it, like a hub and a gathering hub that feel more similar to like old monster, like previous Monster Hunter games, like this feels a little bit more like Celiana feels more scaled back in terms of size, similar to like how scaled back other hubs were in previous Monster Hunter games. And then you have a gathering hub that feels way less scaled back like previous Monster Hunter games. I think it was finding a good medium. And I think this seems so far like a good medium.
My room, it's quote my room, no trademark.
Yeah.
Is an accessible.
My room TM.
Is also accessible and features new personalization options.
Personalization
options.
We got there.
Welcome. This word of the week is personalization, and our letter of the week is P.
Personalized.
Dang it.
Plavinus is my favorite Monster Hunter monster.
You can
my favorite variant.
Features furniture, decor, colors, with a post-launch update planned to allow players to visit each other's spaces. Animal Crossing move over.
Oh no.
We got a new game in town.
This is exciting. I'm really into that.
Yeah, I've always found like there is definitely satisfaction in like customizing yourself, but if you can't really show it off, I always take a step back and go, well, what's the point?
I don't know. I liked customizing so you can show it off, right? Like I customized my house in World when I got to like the big boy house, and I recorded a video and then shared it on Twitter via my PlayStation 4. So there's like sharing that way, but yeah, I think it's like more fun when you have, when you can have like invite people to it, I guess, or like share it in game.
Furthermore, gameplay options offer additional flexibility for multiplayer hunting parties. A series first scaling balanced difficulty, which will adapt for two-player teams if others have dropped out or if a duo sets out to tackle a quest with their palicos in tow. Furry sidekicks will also get an upgrade in gadgets and new options such as the Shield Spire Stooge, a mobile decoy that draws the monster's attention away from the players, the Meow Cano, a giant jar that shoots out fireballs at enemies, and an enhanced Vigor Wasp that can revive players immediately back into battle if they faint. New squad cards featuring info on the respective team can be sent out to invite others to join the group. Similar to how guild cards for each hunter can be traded individually. Subleaders have been added to squad teams and can share duties on recruits and accepting team requests. What a time to be alive.
What a time.
To download the new trailer and information for Monster Hunter World, please visit Cap. Oh, wait. Why am I reading that?
I pulled up the Monster Hunter Wiki quick on the draw, as always. They have entries for Ebony Odogaron and Fulgur Anjanath. Not a whole lot there, because there's not a whole lot on them yet, but it does say that, like it said in the press release, Fulgur Anjanath is a thunder variant of Anjanath, and it is the title in English is Thunderjaw Wyvern, which is a neat name for it. Also, it looks very cool. I really like the look of Thunder Anjanath. And then Ebony Odogaron is a dragon element. Wields dragon blight, which it could be seen from all of the red dragon energy that it's using. And its English title is Wicked Claw Wyvern. That's what we got so far on the two new variants.
It's exciting because I'm assuming there's going to be more. And I'm real happy with the way how Anjanath looks. And I'm real happy with how Odogaron looks.
Yeah.
How did you feel about seeing your boy Glavinus in action?
Looks great. It looks really good. Swinging that 1,000-degree knife challenge tail all over the place.
I do like the focus in this trailer of a more lived-in world. They really feature these hot springs.
Yeah.
And I'm super curious if it's going to actually be like a place I will visit when I turn my game on, or if it's like I check it out for day one and then never really go back. But also seeing like the Palicos dump water on their head is real adorable.
Yeah, it's cute. Well, so like it's like when you have, you know, it's just like a fun thing to do while you're waiting, I think, maybe. Right? Unless I'm misunderstanding that. The impression I got is it's like just a way more elaborate form of like arm wrestling while you're waiting for a quest to go up, or you know, waiting for a party to come back from a quest so that you can join or something. You know, I think when the most that we saw of that as like a large group is when Culve was really popping and we had like multiple groups going at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but maybe I'm misunderstanding that, because like you gotta get in your soaking clothes. Going for a soak with the boys.
I've seen a little, what is it, discussion that Monster Hunter World isn't as weird as past Monster Hunter games. And I feel like weird? Yeah.
In what way, I guess?
Like, I guess the Wiggler hat is pretty, like, out there. And, like, cute and funny. But there were some pretty, like, jokey weapon skins in past games.
Hmm.
There was, like, all the alpaca.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. You're right.
There was, like, the... I think it also helped that those older games were, especially in the 3DS, were, like, way more colorful.
Yeah.
So it came off a little bit more, like, cute and charming. And, like, this is... When I see these little, I don't know what they're... Squirrels hanging out by the water, Yeah, maybe squirrels. Cross squirrel monkey things.
Yeah.
Like, they're definitely, like, cute and inviting. I just think the... maybe it's just, like, the color palette of these games look a little more serious. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely plenty of, like, silliness in Palico gear, at the very least.
Yeah, the Palicos have, like, silly gear. Like, the snowboarding outfit is amazing.
Even in World, like, the Rotoban Palico gear just turning them into like an astronaut was real great. But yeah, I don't know, maybe it is the color palette. I think that you're right. Like, there are things that I, now that I'm thinking about it, like there aren't a ton of really goofy like weapon skins and stuff like that, but I think maybe part of that too is like a lot of the crossover events that they were able to do, like cross-branding things that they were able to do in Japan, that maybe they don't really have as much ability to do now because it's so... Like, that collaboration involves the discussion of, like, worldwide rather than just Japan with, like, negotiation for localization later or maybe just removing it from localization. Now it's, like, any collaboration they do has to be viable for, like, worldwide promotion.
Possibly. It's not a complaint. It's just like a how the game has kind of changed and evolved, and World has been so different than past games. I just know that the thing for 3U that really got me was just how weird it was to like walk into an area and see a little pig holding, like wearing a sweater.
Yeah.
Or like cats hiding in. I mean, like the game still has that. It just seems different this time around.
I got that brings up an important point. There's one more thing about the trailer we could talk about after.
Was it
perhaps the reason that it's not as crazy as it used to be is because they're focusing on how successful it is in the West. That transition work. Welcome to an article from PlayStationLifestyle.net that says Capcom explains why Monster Hunter World became so successful.
Okay.
This is a very short. There's a couple quotes here that I will get that I'll read. But the gist of the article is this is an interview with Video Game Chronicles with Fujioka. And he gave insight into why the game became so successful. As you know, it went on to become one of the best-selling Capcom games of all time. And according to Konami, one of the main reasons for the game's success is the fact that it migrated from handhelds to home consoles. For years, the Monster Hunter series dominated the handheld market, but there's a major difference between selling well on 3DS or PSP versus selling well on various home consoles. Konami said, "Our success in the West with Monster Hunter World comes down to a lot of things coming together that we didn't have before with previous titles. We were obviously releasing previous games in the West, and we wanted them to appeal to those players. But when we gathered post-release feedback, there were a number of key requests which were always there. Number one, players wanted us to release our games on consoles, because in the years before Monster Hunter World, he had been focused on portables, which was something that was maybe holding us back in the West. We found that Western players want a console experience on a big screen TV at home." Which I think is true for most
Pokemon fans have been asking for a console experience for 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe that's true and that's like maybe largely a Western thing.
Yeah. I mean,
that we don't
was more of a portable player when I was younger and I lived at home and kind of when I moved out and had my own living room and my own TV, like that is what I really wanted to play games on. I mean,
sure.
That's my personal experience, but
I would be curious to look into like specifics about why, because I'm not super educated on this, but why handheld games are so much more popular in Japan than they are here. But I think a big part of it is just travel, like big
public transportation.
Public transportation is probably a big factor in that, which arguably the West doesn't do nearly as well as Japan does. But later on, Konami added a point about localization and how a simultaneous worldwide release has helped too. Another factor was that we didn't release our games simultaneously globally until Monster Hunter World. We released in Japan first and then localized it later. So by the time the games arrived in the West, fans had already seen a lot of the news and things coming out of Japan already and were not really getting to experience the excitement in real time, which is something I didn't really think about, but absolutely true. I mean, when they drop a trailer like they did last night or this morning, where whatever time it was for you, everybody gets to experience that excitement at the same time. And it's not like they could drop a trailer and in Japan for a game that's coming out in 3 months there, but we won't see it for maybe a year, or we're not sure if we'll even see it because they haven't said anything, you know? We're all getting ready for the same experience at the same time.
Right.
And that's pretty much the gist of the article. They talk about how it was... They talk a little bit about
Iceborne. I thought you were going to say, with the transition, I thought you were going to say, we were successful because we cut out all the cuteness. And we made a serious hunting game.
But, I mean, maybe that's part of why they, like, maybe that, you know, in talking about why it's successful in the West, maybe that's part of it. Maybe it is part of it that, like, they had to tone down the weirdness for, like, a broader audience.
I don't know. Let me tell you, the thing that got me the most excited was riding that skunk squirrel. Real weird, and I love every second fully. Of it.
I fully agree.
Give me Skunk Squirrel Racing Simulator, please.
I don't know if Mountain Dew Dave is sitting in it. I'm about to offend somebody that listens to our podcast. Mountain Dew Dave sitting in his basement while his kids are upstairs playing next to his Master Chief standee. I don't know if he's as excited about the squirrel and maybe more excited about just looking the most tough he can in the game. Get all that goofy stuff out of there. I don't want that. Serious Gamer Gary? Is that... Can I just give...
Sure.
Can I just come up with names like this all night?
So, as the past trailers have ended, there's always... There has been this recent trend of hinting for the next character or next monster in the game. And we see the... Is it goo? Is it
goo?
Slime? Is it gel?
Oh.
Is it acid? I don't... I read acid. About this one time of what it was.
I believe acid. I remember that did we not read about that on the podcast? Because I vaguely recall this discussion about what the substance is.
The snot.
Slime. Well, according to the wiki, slime.
Slime. Because when you walk through it, you also slow down, right?
Nickelodeon slime.
So we see the Nickelodeon slime on a Uragan. I say that right?
Yes. Yep. I think I say, yeah. I think you're right.
Uragan?
Yeah.
And then it explodes and dies tragically. And no soundbite here. Well, I'm sure there was a soundbite. I wouldn't be able to tell because I have the worst audio sense in the entire world. But
there was. It was very low.
I'd recognize Nickelodeon slime anywhere.
Slime blight. Yeah, there was a very low growl. And who do you think that low growl was?
Ren and Stimpy. Wait, yep. They weren't Nickelodeon. Were they?
Were they not? I actually don't know. I think they were.
I think they were. Nick at Night.
Is that what... No, Nick at Night was like all the adult sitcoms. Like I Love Lucy and Roseanne, maybe? I don't know if Roseanne was part of that. Let's get out of this. Let's backflip out of this quick. Give me a name so we can get out of here. Get out of this conversation.
Ugh, but I can't.
I want to hear you say it.
I can't say it right.
I want to hear you say it.
All right. Let me. Brachydios.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I think that's probably right. I say Brachydios, but I know that that's wrong. I just don't know the actual pronunciation. I think it's Brachydios, though.
You know, I
like
don't...
Dios mio. You know?
I think I only fought this monster once in 3U.
Really?
I think by the time I got to this monster, everyone I was playing with kind of fell off. And I was, well, I'm not that I'm any better than I was when I was playing 3U, but it was too hard for me to do solo.
Oh, I see. Okay. Understandable. We fought this a good amount in, I can't remember if we did this. I'm pretty sure we did this in Double Cross, not Generations Ultimate.
I think I hunted it a couple times in Double Cross. I don't think I hunted it more than once or twice because I wasn't worried about its armor set. I think I just had to hunt it to move on to the next key quest.
Yeah. I like Bracky. Bracky's great.
Yeah, he's cool.
Very cool. Also, if you know, going back to the weird and wild world of previous Monster Hunter games, there was a Brachydios. I'm just going to say it the way I say it until they correct me with an actual pronunciation. Brachydios. There was a Brachydios variant in Monster Hunter Explorer that made it look like an Ava from Neon Genesis Evangelion, and it's really good.
I was going to say it looks like Genesect.
It's really dumb, but I like it a lot. I think maybe also, though, what this did was tease a slime blight or poison, probably just poison in world, a poison variant Uragon. Because I don't think it was like, oh, it covered it in that, and then the Uragon died. Like, I think it just...
Oh.
Because it's like a green sheen on the Uragon.
The Uragon will have a poison variant.
I'm assuming that's what's going to happen.
I didn't even think of that.
That's my guess. We keep building this roster of flagship monsters, though.
You think Gormagala's next?
I just hope so. I think people are going to be upset if it's Gormagala before Zenogre.
Wait, what? I feel like Zenogre has more of a cult following than Gore.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I feel like people will be upset if it's not Zenogre.
Oh,
next.
I see.
If they do Gormagala before Zenogre, I feel like people might be a little upset.
What if it's just Mitsune? Is that how you say it?
Mitsutsune?
Mitsusune?
Tama Mitsune? That's one of your fours.
I know. I love the Faded Four. Faded Four over Gormagala any day.
Mitsutsune, Glavinus, Gammoth, and
but only all
the
four.
Other one. I can never remember.
I feel like one of them individually is not better than Gore, but all four of them together.
Like Gavinith has... Or Gavinith.
Gavinith. When Glavinus and Gammoth merge together. When they share
fusion.
Two souls.
Gammoth has to be coming, though. It's gotta be. I refuse to believe that Gammoth is not going to be in this game. Unless they're replacing Gammoth with Bonborough, because Bonborough was not, like, the same, but kind of similar in that, like...
No, Gammoth doesn't
move. It has
move.
Snow effects, and it's got huge tusks.
Stands there and stomps.
Yeah, I mean, I meant just, like, in terms of design, I guess.
Oh, maybe. They gotta just recycle and reuse that... if anything has taught me in the last 2 weeks, everyone on the internet are game designers.
Yeah,
and
correct.
you just got to recycle assets.
That's for our Monster Hunter audience. Let's be clear that that's shots at the Pokemon community.
you take the fur texture, you take the movement texture, boom, you got a new monster.
Yeah, just put them all in there. It's easy.
It's easy.
Why are you
just
being so
paste.
Lazy? Just copy and paste them in there.
Copy paste. That's how game design works.
You already have the models in the on the Switch. Just upscale them to the PS4. It's not hard.
Game design is just copy and paste. This is what I've learned.
Yeah, correct.
Control C, Control C, Control C.
Who are
you
missing
sure?
though? We're missing Zenogre.
Zenogre.
Laggy. Lagiacris.
Yeah.
How would they? I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know. Seregios is missing. Three of the Faded Four are missing. And then Valstrax. That's it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That seems like a lot. Eight. That seems like a lot of monsters.
8 are missing. It does, yeah.
I mean, I only say that because I remember on this show, we were like...
Oh, Fatalis, too.
What did World launch with? Like... 21 monsters or something like that.
Something like that.
Remember we had like two or three angry people write in being like, nah, there's going to be like 50 monsters. And I was like, wait, I don't think so, man.
Yeah. And then there wasn't.
there was only the 20 that, I mean, they've introduced some over time for sure, but this seems like a lot of monsters if they even just stick to every flagship.
And not add like new ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I guess, yeah, I don't know.
But I guess the engine's already technically done.
Yeah, I mean, the engine's done. They can kind of just,
they
like,
also
they
don't
have skeletons
with,
for
They also
much.
Don't have to launch with, like, Gore or Lagiacris or Seregios. Like, that
That's
doesn't,
true.
Those can be introduced monthly.
As we've seen with Lunastra and Teostra. Well, not Teostra, but Lunastra and just Lunastra. I can't remember all the monsters they added. It's been such a wild year. I actually, now that I'm saying that out loud, can't even believe that it's been a year. It feels like it's been a lot longer. That's a good thing. Not saying like, oh, this feels like it's been forever.
Are you sure we didn't talk about the Digital Deluxe, the Silver Knight layered armor with 3 gestures, 2 stickers, 1 face paint, 1 hairstyle, 1 decorated room set thing?
I think we talked about it when they announced it.
Oh, well, that's the Deluxe.
That's also a thing.
Pre-order bonus.
And then just the normal pre-order bonus is Yukimo gear, layered armor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks cool, though. I remember distinctly yelling about how much it looked like just a straight-up knight. And look kind of neat, but also
I don't specifically remember that, but I believe you. Where there's the whole developer diary, but I don't think we're gonna get a trailer next week, so we'll probably cover the developer diary stuff next week.
Sure.
For those that don't want to watch it and just want the cliff notes, we'll have them for you.
Feeling good though. Feeling good about Iceborne.
Yeah, seems real exciting. Seems like
it's
kind
a lot of.
It's we're going to compare this to Pokemon. It's like when Gold and Silver came out and then Crystal came out and you're just like, this is just a better version. It's just like everything I want.
It's slightly more in color now. I can bathe with my friends.
I can ride squirrels.
Just like Pokemon Crystal.
Just like Pokemon Crystal. Bathing with your friends, riding squirrels.
It just feels like, yeah, it's exciting because it feels like they're doing a lot. I can't even really remember specifically what we talked about being a little bit frustrated about them deciding not to do the last time. I remember distinctly there was something recently that we were like, oh, they should have done that, and it's a bummer that they didn't, but I don't even remember
stuff?
What it was. Oh, yeah, the cutscene things. That's it.
Yeah, that's the only complaint right now I still have.
Yeah. That being the only thing, like, they have made a lot of strides, and maybe it's possible that that's, like, I feel like saying, we just want you to watch and enjoy our cutscenes because we worked really hard on them, maybe is more PR way of saying, like, there's something in the engine or in the way the game is designed that it's too hard for us to implement cutscenes without, like, I don't know, maybe that's the case, but they have definitely taken a lot of the feedback and have done things with it, like, and I'm seeing that especially with the Gathering Hub, like, that is exciting. That the Gathering Hub is what a Gathering Hub should be. You should have access to all the stuff. You shouldn't have to leave after every hunt to go do something. You should be able to do it right where you are. You should be able to live in the Gathering Hub.
I agree.
And you can now, and that's great. It's exciting. Shaping up to be real, real good.
Well, hopefully you enjoyed the episode. We will be back next week, of course. If you want to follow us on Twitter, @CarvePodcast. And if you want to follow our personal Twitters, @MicahTheBrave for Micah, @DraggingALake for myself, and CarvePodcast.com if you want to see the backlog of episodes. I feel like September is approaching real, real fast all of a sudden. We're July. It's like mid-July already. I need time to slow down. But anyways, hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on slicing those monsters. Is that a good glavinous pun?
Yeah.
Okay.